You know, the older we get, the more we see how some things don't change and some things do. Today I'd like us to look at a subject that has changed a great deal in many of our lives and most likely will continue changing in the same direction and then will dramatically change at Jesus Christ's return. It's something you can gain or lose. It's something you can give, but not necessarily something you can take, at least not for yourself, though you can achieve it. And you are to give it, except in certain circumstances, and only for certain reasons. It is important to God, but has had less and less importance to people, and no doubt will more and more as time goes on until the return of Jesus Christ. It is something that we hear about in this day and age, probably rarely. In some cultures, perhaps many, it held such importance for hundreds or thousands of years. In one country that I know of, one would consider death the proper thing to do, in fact, sometimes self-imposed, if this were lost. But in that same country at this time, it probably has much less importance today. It is something we should seek, but it's not something we should talk about much, really, at least in relationship to ourselves. In fact, in some ways, it's best not to seek it at all. It's something that we should not demand, but it is something that we should expect more from ourselves than to ourselves. It is honor. Honor. It's a word that is seldom heard, at least in our society, yet it is of eternal importance, and it should be on our minds on a regular basis. So what is honor, and what are we to do about it? Let's take a brief look at this subject today. The first thought that probably comes to mind regarding the use of the word honor in God's word is not where we're going to start today, because as mentioned, we don't think about honor that frequently. It can even be laughed at, not by a few, but by many, as something even to have. Position, recognition, and wealth are often what people strive for. But when it comes to honor, it's hardly thought of at all anymore. Now, we do see or hear about it. We know there's honor roll for students in high school. Boy Scouts say, "On my honor." In court, we hear, "Your honor." Well, not always. Or maybe it may not be meant in the same way as the words say. We know soldiers are given honor for giving their lives for our country and others. And we've heard of the phrase, the honorable thing to do, though that can have different meanings to different people and at different times. Because where it stands now, in comparison to where it previously stood, and even this country's history, and more so, the word of God is quite distant. If you were to ask a child, what do you want to be when you grow up? The word honorable probably wouldn't come to mind. But if you were to ask an elderly people, what would you like to be remembered as? Honorable may well be one of the replies. So let's take a moment to think. Who do you think of in your life now as being honorable? And also think about, in whose eyes are they honorable other than me, and why? And how important is it to you to be considered honorable? And again, in whose eyes, and for what reason? Let's turn to a scripture that is intended to lead us in the right direction, but can lead us in the wrong one. And that's Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13 and verse 7. Romans 13, verse 7. When I'm reading the Bible, especially perhaps the older I get and the more I learn and the more I realize I don't know, I question things that are written in the Bible as to why were those said? Why was it written? For what purpose? And what was meant by it, of course? But here we see that Paul was giving the Gentile church in Rome some instruction that they were obviously in need of. He was dealing with subjects that were either not on their mind, or were on their mind not in the correct way, or might have been questions that they had. Romans chapter 13, verse 7. Render therefore to all their due. Taxes to whom taxes are due. Customs to whom customs are due. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. I like the way the Complete Jewish Bible renders this. Pay everyone what he is owed. If you owe the tax collector, pay your taxes. If you owe the revenue collector, pay revenue. If you owe someone respect, pay them respect. And if you owe someone honor, pay him honor. Human nature can often lead us to a different frame of mind, and I think we agree that it's a common frame of mind in society today. I don't owe him anything. And this says, if you do owe someone something, pay it to them. This guy, I don't owe him a thing. I don't owe him any respect. I don't owe her any honor. I don't owe anything, so I'm just leaving it alone. One of the familiar posters that I've seen in schools and also in other buildings is, you have to earn respect in order to get respect. And that is a common quote. It is a philosophy that is being taught to children and to adults today, but it is not really in agreement with what God's word has to say on this subject. There's more to this verse than we've read so far, and we'll look at that a little bit later and with the instruction that is given. But here, I think we can see that it is natural, or perhaps even better yet, carnal, to have thoughts like that, especially if certain things are not taught or practiced, and even more when the opposite is taught and also seen regularly. Let's take a look at another instruction that we're given by God, this time through Peter, that shows us that what might be the natural reaction to that type of instruction is not the right one. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17, 1 Peter 2, 17. That was one thing my mother told me. Always say the scripture three times so I have time to get there. 1 Peter 2, verse 17. Honor all people. Love the hood, the brotherhood. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. It's interesting to know that the same word in the Greek here is used twice in this verse, yet is instructing us in slightly different ways, as we'll see. So what is honor? Honor can be seen as respect, and that is a part of what it is. It is related to admiration, to think highly of another, standing in wow of them, we might say. Wow, that's amazing, or wow, I want to be like that. It's related to distinction, standing apart, being looked up to with humility. It can be a feeling also of standing out in a way that may make one feel outstanding or also humble. Interestingly, as we'll see and already have to a certain degree, in the Bible that does reveal the mind and heart of God, it comes down to two basic principles, value and weight. Value and weight. And we have to ask ourselves as we look at certain scriptures, what or whom do we value? What or who has weight in our lives? What or who impacts us? And how? And what are we to do about it? And also, what kind of value do we have, to whom, and is it growing in the right way? The Greek and Hebrew words from a Bible encyclopedia says the following. The meanings of the Hebrew root, kaved, and Greek time, Words translated honor are much wider in scope than the English implies. That's what we often hear, don't we? When we look into the Hebrew or Greek or even into some English words, we find there's a lot more meaning than may immediately come to mind. Kaved literally means to be heavy, weighty, but is used almost exclusively in figurative ways, the most common being to be honorable. For a man to be weighty in society is understood figuratively as his being important, respected, and honored. Time also includes the idea of value. Some of the other translations of the two words are splendor, majesty, beauty, respect, and glory, the latter being the most common. I think we've all heard of people throwing their weight around or trying to, and we've also heard of the weightier matters of the law. Weight figuratively deals with importance, position, impact, and effect. Time, as we heard, is associated with value or preciousness, and there are different values or worths which are important for us to recognize. Thus, there are different types and levels of honor which are important for us to know. They don't, or aren't supposed to, come from our own judgment, which is where they naturally do, don't they? They are supposed to be based on the Word of God, again, revealing His mind and His heart. So again, we have to ask ourselves as we look at certain scriptures, what or whom do we value? What or who has weight in our lives? What or who impacts us? Who do we stand in wow of? And why? And what are we to do about it? And what kind of value, again, do we have? To whom? And is it growing in the right way? We saw in 1 Peter 2:17, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Isn't that redundant? Isn't that what was already covered? Honor all people. So why do you repeat honor the king? Well, this passage, using the same Greek word twice, emphasizes two things that we're focused on today. We are to value all people. We are to value all people, not only those that we feel are deserving of honor. And there are varying degrees of honor, value, weight, and recognition in accordance with God's word, not only from our perspectives. One of the very exciting and educational trips that my wife and I recently went on was to Greece and also to Turkey. And we were very thrilled to be able to do that. We had planned to do that for our 25th wedding anniversary to go to Greece. But because of my parents' health and other family health concerns, we were unable to do anything. I think we did Taco Bell or something like that. Anyway, we were very excited, thrilled, when the Meekers decided to invite us to join them in Greece using some of his frequent flyer miles. And then he had planned the whole trip. He is very historically oriented and has an amazing memory. So he planned the whole trip. And then he said to us, now this is what I've planned, but if you have any other places that you'd like to see, just let me know. This is just what came to mind when I was thinking about it. So he told us here and here and then over to here and up there and down here and over there and all that. And we looked at it and he said, yeah, that looks good. we'll follow. We'll just grab onto the coattails and go wherever you would. Is there anywhere else you would like to go? Not that we can think of at the moment. Just amazing. One of the things that really, I mean, I do like some history. I do not live and breathe history. I like to research and find out more things. And especially when I see evidence. When I see the evidence, it's like, oh, wow, I want to find out more about this. This was from 2,300 years ago, was buried in, you know, wherever it was, and was discovered. Archaeological escapades only about 40 years ago. And it's almost pure gold. And they had all this gold in this area. I can't remember where it was, but anyway, actually it was Mycia, I believe it was the area where they buried people, and they had so much gold that it was considered valuable, but it wasn't considered so valuable that they had to sell it to other people to get other things. They used it to honor people, and they would actually make what were known as death masks, and they would cover one's face as they buried them in a tomb with a gold mask. And then they had all this gold jewelry, and they discovered this and put it in a museum that we were able to walk around and see all of this gold that was attempted to be stolen several years ago. They were caught, and now it's in this museum. And it was something that was valuable to them, but it was used in honoring someone. It was not used to get personal gain. And any of you who have worked with gold, or have dealt with gold or have learned about gold, know gold is usually very heavy. So if you were given two burlap bags and were told there is something in each one of these, one is gold and one is concrete, here, hold them in your hand, you'd take that one. Because one has much more weight in a literal sense than the other. And we know that things, because of their preciousness, have more weight or more value. And that is what we can see in relationship to honor as well. Why are we to honor all people? Why are we to value all? Well, we won't spend a lot of time there. I'm sure things are coming to your mind that have been revealed to us, and we are so privileged to know that God considers us his most precious creation, that he created people in his image and in his likeness, and he intends to give all an opportunity to become a part of his eternal family, of his children, of brothers and sisters to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, brothers and sisters to you and to me. And we are to recognize that. We are to value that. And we are to value all people as potential children of God, that we may have the opportunity to teach and to help, no matter how many hard times we've had or are having with them at this very time. One of the opportunities that I have had in the past was working for the personal correspondence department. And that was a very interesting experience, very educational in a number of ways. Maybe some of you saw the quarterly report that Mr. Moranville ran in the recent ministerial newsletter that probably was distributed to you, where he has all of these questions or comments that are posed. And I used to have to review every one of them before it was sent out. And in order to review the answers that were being sent out, I had to, of course, read the questions to see if those questions were being answered accurately or in an appropriate way. And I had the chance to work with Mr. Moranville, who now lives in Sherman, and it was fascinating and educational to me to see how he handled things, and also pastors with years of experience working with members and non-members, potential members or whatever, and see how they would handle things. Because when I would read some of these questions, I would think, wow, this person is obviously being called. They're being given understanding. They are hungering to know, what does God want me to do? What do I need to change? Or an element of truth was brought to their recognition where they realized, you know, the Bible never says Sunday is the Sabbath. I see that. It's so plain, and I want to keep the Sabbath. Where can I keep the Sabbath with others who believe the same things? Where can I learn more of God's word? And when I would see that from someone in Poughkeepsie, you know, or whatever, it was thrilling. But then there were the other letters that came in that were in sharp contrast, that were criticizing, condemning, letting us know that they wanted nothing to do with us and wanted to make sure we knew that and were aware of that and why, and what they thought of us and how they respected us and what they wanted us to do or not do anymore. And some of them were a mixture of the two, where it was questions, what does your church teach about this subject? Because what I read in your publications is obviously totally wrong. You people don't know what you're talking about. You don't even believe in this or that. And so what do you teach? I want to see what you have to say. So I'd look at these questions. And the funny part was, if we had someone who asked a question and got an answer, then they asked another question and they got an answer. And then they asked another question, got an answer, and this went on a few times. And then all of a sudden they wrote in, and it was very negative, as the others may have had a hint of. And I would pick up that letter, and my first reaction was, well, I know how I'd answer this one. And then I'd see Mr. Moranville or one of the other writers. I knew they prayed that morning. I knew they had the right attitude. And I knew when they answered that, they were saying, this person is a potential child of God. This person is not being given understanding now, but they will be. And that to me was just amazing and something that I try to keep in mind when I'm dealing with people on the highway or others in other different areas. Because we're always to keep that in mind, aren't we? That everyone was created in the image and likeness of God, and he wants to welcome them into his family, and he has a plan and a purpose for each one who was ever born, whoever became a human being in any way. And we also are to remember what Jesus Christ himself exemplified in his crucifixion. Forgive them, Father, they don't know what they're doing. They don't know. So what are the varying degrees and types of honor, of value, of weight, and of recognition? Is it up to us to decide? Well, I think we know that no, it is not. It is God through his word who instructs us in this regard. In our society today, things have impact and are valued for a variety of reasons. And any that are biblical are perfectly acceptable. But others, we should question. Let's go back to the book of Romans, Romans 13. And let's take a look at the context in which this instruction was given. Romans 13. Romans 13, that was 3, and verse 7. Romans 13, verse 7, we read, render therefore, whenever we see the word therefore, it should make us pause. Because therefore gives evidence that something was said before that, leading to this conclusion, leading to this point that is being made. Therefore. So let's back up. Let's start in verse 1. And again, let's think about what Paul was doing in writing this letter to the Roman brethren, either answering questions they may have had or questions they didn't have about subjects they might have been thinking about in the wrong way or may not have been thinking about at all that he had to instruct them about. Verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Now, there are a lot of different ways we could analyze this. There are a lot of different ways we can look into this. But I think we can see Paul was instructing the Romans that they were to reflect what God intended them to do in respect to authority, and that God is in charge of all. And that if God decides to stop something, he's going to stop something. And if he's going to allow it to be, he will allow it to be. and that we are to respect authority as long as it doesn't go against God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Again, just pause for a moment and think, why did Paul write this? Were some of the Romans, if not most of them, having certain thoughts that he needed to straighten them out on or help them to see that we ourselves may have from time to time? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good, but if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister. We know that word can also be used as servant. An avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore you must be subject. Not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. Again, he was emphasizing to them what he expected, what God expected them to have as a view toward authority. To be respectful, to be obedient, again, unless they were going against God. And they were to have this in their mind so that it was a conscious action or idea. For because of this, you also pay taxes. He did say that, didn't he? For they are God's servants, attending continually to this very thing. They have their appointed purpose in Rome at this time, and you're paying taxes for them to do what they are doing. Render therefore to all their due. Taxes to whom taxes are due. Customs to whom customs. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. So we see the Roman congregation was being given specific instructions about being under authority, respecting it, and giving the appropriate honor to those who were in those positions. It wasn't dealing with them making up their own minds of who was deserving honor, but giving them direction regarding the weight and the value. And then interestingly, verse 8 takes us back to the principle of honoring all. The context, I think, does say a lot about the instruction Paul was giving to them and that we also should take in. Now let's take a look at a couple of verses that could say something that contradicts what we just read. Okay? Does that sound good? In fact, I will read them to you. You can jot them down if you'd like and read them later to prove what I'm saying is true, but I'll just read them to you. First is Proverbs 26:1. Proverbs 26:1 says, as snow in summer, and rain in harvest, those don't seem to fit together, do they? So honor is not fitting for a fool. What it says, honor is not fitting for a fool. Verse 8 says, like one who binds a stone in a sling, is he who gives honor to a fool. Now just to pause for a minute, when I was a little kid, I tried to do a sling thing. Wanted to be just like King David, except I wasn't aiming at anybody. But I'd get this sling that I made without any instruction or wisdom behind it. But it had a little thing to hold the stone. And I would put the stone in the sling, and then when I would swing it, the rock would often fall out. Because I didn't know what I was doing. I wasn't doing it fast enough. I was scared I was going to hit myself in the head, whatever. It didn't work that well. And that's what he's referring to now. So why didn't I just take some duct tape and tape that stone in the sling? Right? That would have made a lot of sense, wouldn't it? And then when I swung it and tried to throw it, it would have either pulled me or it would have bounced back and hit me in the head. So here that came to mind, like one who binds a stone in a sling is he who gives honor to a fool. So is this saying that we're not to honor all? And that we are unwise if we honor fools? Here we need to again remember the words value and weight. Value and weight. This scripture, using the word that comes from kaved, the Hebrew word, is focusing on the word weight or impact. Impact. Yet what do we see in our society today? Those who, according to God's word, are fools should not have impact on our lives, should not make impressions on what we want to become. We have to be on guard against that. We are always to recognize their value, that God did create them in his image and after his likeness, but we are not to let them throw their weight around us. We are not to allow them to have impact on us that makes us want to be like them. We are not to give them that type of honor. Let's always remember value and weight. What are some of the other instructions that were given regarding honor and the varying degrees of honor, what one of which we just looked at, were warned about, as we find in God's word? Each of these is a separate subject that could be looked into in much more depth, but we're just taking an overview of these. These instructions are showing us the value that we're to give others, how we're to view them as precious, and how they are to have impact, if it's godly impact, in our lives. Let's start outside of the family in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. First Timothy six, verse one. Let as many bondservants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and his doctrine may not be blasphemed. Let all those who were working for others, let all those who were supposed to be employed by or assisting or serving others, give them honor, give them the value. And in our day and age, this is a general principle, still in accordance with God's word, that deals with supervisors, bosses, those we work for. They carry the weight, and they are to be honored accordingly. We're to do our jobs, the jobs that are given to us, according to the instructions that are given, to the best of our ability. We are to exemplify the way God intends the relationship to be, to the best of our ability, again, with the help of God. And we see in the world that we live in the society, that that often is not done. We see a lot of individuals who do not show respect to those that they are working for. We also see a lot who are not agreeing with the way they are instructed to do things, that a manager usually has tried to define in a way that they will all work together to accomplish a goal, and can sometimes really mess things up and make the manager, supervisor, wish they had someone else working for them. Whereas others who were saying, this is the person I'm working for right now, this is the person I need to show my honor to, I need to do the best job I can so that no matter what happens, he'll know I did my best to do the job I was given to do, just as God wants me to do and wants me to exemplify to others that is what I am trying to do. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 18. Proverbs 27:18. I'll just read this one to you. Proverbs 27:18. Whoever keeps the fig tree will eat its fruit. Okay, that's pretty basic, isn't it? So he who waits on his master will be honored. And that is giving instruction to the supervisors, the bosses, the employers, of what they are to do to those who are doing their job well, who are attempting to do what they have been given to do to honor their bosses, to get the job done. They are to honor them. They're to give them some appreciation. They are to show them their value in whatever way they can, and if appropriate, their responsibilities, their weight will be increased. It's something for supervisors to keep in mind. Their involvement, their input based on their experience can be sought. Again, value and weight. The first thing that probably came to your mind when I mentioned honor could have been the fifth commandment. And it is something that we read in Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5, and then see it throughout the Word of God. Honor your father and mother until you are 18 years old, and then... No, it doesn't say that, does it? Honor your father and mother. Value them. Don't take them for granted. Show them respect. God intends parents to be symbolic of Him, of His love, of His instruction, of His concern, and of Him considering them as precious. And that honor is to continue throughout their lives, to show them the respect, to show them the value, and also they, in relationship, of course, to God and His Word, are to have impact. And that impact is to be sought for what they have learned, for what they have experienced, and for what they care to do for their children. When I was, 21, 22, I thought I knew what it was like to be a father. I wasn't a father at the time. I had nephews and nieces, and I loved them. And I would do whatever I could for them. When I would visit the family, my sister had three girls and one boy. My sister and I would be up till 2 in the morning talking about this, that, or the other thing, catching up with each other. 6 in the morning, those kids would come and wake me up to play with me. And I loved it for about 2 weeks. Well, anyway, I loved it. And I thought, you know, being a parent, I'd love it. And I think I know what it is. It wasn't until I was, I'm not going to say what age, that I finally had a child and realized I had no clue what it was like to be a parent. I never knew the love my parents had for me, that whatever I was going through, they hurt more than I did. And that they cared for me so much. I never had a clue until I had my own child. And I keep reminding her of that. Someday you're going to know. But it is amazing the love that parents have for their children, and that they are to exemplify God, who calls Himself our Father and us His children. And they are to have impact. Godly impact, of course. Many of you may have heard a survey that was conducted years ago among teenagers. Who has more impact on you, your parents or your peers? And the teenagers' overwhelming response was about 50-50. You know, my parents, they have impact on me in some things, but not in others. I have to admit that was my frame of mind at the time, too. And I was thinking, well, you know, I'm the one who decides what's important. I'm the one who decides what is really meaningful. And so my parents have instilled in me some principles that I just totally agree with, except for these. And my friends, they're right. I mean, they are right spot on. They know what it's all about. They are with it. They are not archaic. They're not out of it. You know, all these things. We live and learn. God intends us to value our parents, for them to have impact on us, to share what they can share, to show their love, and for it to be appreciated and understood as best as possible throughout our lives. And that is something that God intends for all of us as well. Let's go now to 1 Peter 3, verse 7. 1 Peter 3, verse 7. And again, when I read these scriptures, I've been doing this more and more lately, you know, just to let you know. I'll ask myself, why was this written? There had to be a purpose why it was written in the first place, either with the people or because of whatever they were going through or were not keeping in mind. And why was it written this way? Because some of the things that I would read and still do, I'll go, yeah, I know that. That's a given. You know, it's, you know, why... You know, dwell on this. But at the time it wasn't, and at other times in my life, maybe even now, it may not have the same non-essential component as well. So here in 1 Peter 3, verse 7, we read, "Husbands, likewise," whoop, that's another therefore kind of word, because of what was said before. He says, "Husbands, likewise," but let's continue on, "dwell with them with understanding." Isn't that a given? Why did he write "with understanding"? Was that something he needed to kind of remind them that they needed to strive to do? To understand to them, and not to think that he understood what that must mean, because if I would act that way, this is what that would mean, and that's that, and I know exactly what you're thinking. Is that what he was doing? Dwell with them with understanding, I think, was an admonishment. My wife's nodding her head. I don't know what that's all about. Some of you may remember the story. We're very excited this year. We found out, which we never thought would happen, that they had no special music coordinator going to Hawaii for the feast. So we had to be asked to do that. And we talked about it for about a minute. We're very excited about doing that. And some of you may remember the story that came to mind about the guy in California walking along the beach and suddenly discovering some old type of bottle. And he picked it up, and it was dirty, and he starts, you know, brushing it off to see what it is. And all of a sudden, the genie comes out. And the genie says, "Make a wish, any wish. You can have anything you want. Anything in the world. You ask for it, and you'll get it." And the guy said, "Oh, well, this might sound a little crazy, but I'm afraid of flying. But I've always wanted to go to Hawaii. So what I'd like to do is have a road from here to Hawaii so that I could drive there." And the genie said, "Are you kidding? Do you know what would be involved in that? You couldn't just have a road. You'd have to have gas stations. You probably couldn't have just two lanes. You'd have to have four. What if somebody gets a flat tire? You'd have to have hotels along the way, places to eat. That is just ridiculous. You can't even imagine what would be involved. It's just not reasonable. Is there anything else you would like?" And he said, "Well, I've always wanted to understand women. I've wanted to understand how they think, how they come to conclusions, why they come to those conclusions. I've just always wanted to know that. It's been a desire of mine since I was a young man." And the genie looked at him and said, "You want that two lanes or four?" Okay, that is a joke, and we all know it works both ways, don't we? It works both ways. Let's move on, shall we? Dwell with them with understanding. Again, something to try to do. Giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel or to the more precious vessel. Again, I think, why did he write this? Were some of the guys saying, "You know, I could do a roof in a day. Go ahead and you do it." Or whatever it might have been, whatever the situation might have been, that Peter was saying, you need to be showing them honor. You need to be seeking understanding. You need to recognize that you're not the same being. You need to show them that love. And as being heirs together of the grace of life, for eternal life, you two are together in this, and you are to be one, and you're working together for this goal that God has given to you. That your prayers may not be hindered. Whoa. So Peter's saying, you need to honor your wife, you need to do these things, that your prayers may not be hindered. That sounds pretty serious to me. It sounds like Peter was saying, this is very important. And if you don't have that honoring, if you do not have that respect, if you do not have that love, how is God going to look upon your frame of mind? Doing what he intends for you to do, or doing what you feel is the right thing to do. Showing honor only in the mirror and not to your wife. Now, we do know the previous verses go into the family structure that God has ordained, but here the instruction is honoring, which is not to only go one way. Both are to value one another, especially in the way that God desires us to value each other, according to the family structure he put to place, which will be returned to at Christ's return. We're to value one another not only privately, but are to show honor, to show respect, to show what God intends us to do. In the world we live in, we know that is often not the frame of mind. We keep seeing more and more that it is an individualistic sense of being, that it may be showing temporary honor, temporary respect, unless something goes wrong and then it's over. And we see that that happens more and more, and that there is less and less commitment. Commitment to the other person and from the other person in the marriage relationship that God has designed and that God has given to us as a great blessing. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32, we read another instruction relating to honor, of value, of weight. Leviticus 19, 32. Leviticus 19, 32. You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man. And then interesting words that follow that are supposedly, I guess I shouldn't say supposedly, are directly related to the instruction just given. And fear your God. I am the Eternal. It's again something that is very important to God, to show the respect, to show the honor to the elderly, which we see less and less in our society and may see it less and less in other ways as well. Years ago, I went to the Feast of Tabernacles and I was sitting, there was a lady sitting in front of me who, when she heard the announcement about the senior citizens' luncheon, I didn't see any reaction, but immediately after services, I was talking to her, and we were invited to go to it as well. Not that we were anywhere near the age, but that we were invited to go as well. And I said to her, "So will you be going to that?" She said, "No way. There is no way I'm going to the senior citizens' luncheon. I don't want anybody to know how old I am." Stunned silence. I didn't know what to say. I remembered a story, or not a story, but a not a documentary, but something that I had read about the Japanese culture. And it's not only the Japanese, but it's other cultures as well, or at least was, where young people would go and would ask elderly people their age. And when they did so, they did it very humbly, because they knew that these people deserved a great deal of respect. And when they heard their age, they would probably feel even more humble, because they knew these people had lived that long, had lived through whatever they had lived through, had learned whatever they had learned, had gone on, and here they were at this age, having the wisdom, having the knowledge that they didn't have. I didn't tell that lady that story. Someday I might, but anyway. It's amazing, though, how in the society we live in, there seems to be less respect for the elderly. There seems to be less desire to seek their wisdom, to seek their guidance, to tend to them as they have tended to us. My mother, she didn't get me ticked off, but she got me internally upset when I was trying to take care of her in her latter days. And she would say something like, well, I don't want you to do this. You know, you're just doing too much for me. And I would say, pardon my bluntness, Mother, I'm sure you changed my diapers a lot more than I'm helping you into your recliner chair. Or you did this for me, you did that for me, you did so much more for me than I can ever do for you. So please let me do what I can do to help you in whatever way I can, and I know it's minimal in comparison. But yet we do see more and more of that not being the frame of mind that God intends there to be of honoring the elderly, to be seeking their wisdom, to be seeking their, to be sharing and showing their value to them in whatever ways we can. 1 Timothy 5:3, we read something related to this, but much more specific. 1 Timothy 5, verse 3. 1 Timothy 5, verse 3. Honor the widows, those who have lost their husbands, who are indeed precious in the eyes of God. And that is something that we may need to, myself included, more specifically do. And I tried to do that more for my mother after my father had died, and want to do it more for others as well in the future. They are indeed precious in the eyes of God, more than we know. Value them, talk to them, learn from them, and again, value them. Let them know how precious they are, and they will become more and more so the more we deal with them. Honor the widows, who are indeed precious in the eyes of God. In Philippians 2, verses 29 and 30, where I would like you not to turn, we're given instruction to show honor to those who stand out in their service to God. But I'd like us to look in 1 Corinthians 12, where we see an honor that in the world we live in doesn't come as naturally or not naturally at all. 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I think it's a passage that is probably quite familiar to quite a number of us, and we've heard it before. And I have to admit, I need to do more about it, as the instruction of God is given. 1 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse 20. Now indeed, there are many members, yet one body, speaking of the church. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And any one of us who has ever lost either an element of our body or has had pain in an area of our body knows, you know, I never knew how much I valued that big toe. Or I never knew I had that muscle in my back. That is one important muscle I'm going to take care of from now on. Different things like that that we can experience in our own bodies, and this is speaking of the church. Verse 23, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. They usually do not have need for honor because they are given it. They have recognition much more frequently. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it. In other words, when God is looking down on those who are not standing out, may not appear stellar, he honors them. And he cares for them in a special way, knowing what they are doing that may be unnoticeable, may be behind the curtain, behind the scenes, may be grieving, may be difficult, and they're doing it. Not for themselves, but for others on a regular basis or when the need arises. And God honors that. And we, of course, need to as well. We need to be, and I'm saying me, need to be more thankful than I normally am. Because we often take things for granted. Mr. David Johnson in the Foundation Institute gave a seminar about all that is involved in making Sabbath services happen, all the elements that are involved. And he had the class say, so just start saying things that would happen to make Sabbath services happen. And one said one thing, another said another thing. Pretty soon he had a list of 100 items that had to be done to make Sabbath services happen that most people would never think of. Could you write down 100 items? I don't think I could. Or if I did, it'd take me a long time. I'd have to scrutinize. I would have to think about, and then, because I don't think about them regularly. And who does them? I don't think about that either. And so that's something that the instructions here are given. We need to show more honor, knowing this is all a togetherness that we need to be appreciative of. Verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care, the same concern, the same appreciation for one another. Then again he says, of course, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it, or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Again, being the family, the extended family that God has given to us in the church. Another instruction that we're given regarding honor is found in 1 Timothy 5. 1 Timothy 5, verse 17. 1 Timothy 5, verse 17. I'll read it twice here, giving different emphasis to one or two words. 1 Timothy 5, 17. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in word and doctrine. Now, some of us with our history in the church may have at times, perhaps not now, but may have read this a little bit different in the past. Let the elders who rule well, haven't seen one of them in a while, be counted worthy of double honor. Yeah, if I see one of them, yeah, that'll be really cool. Especially those who labor in word and doctrine. Now, this is to me is something that actually makes it more clear about the principle. The word rule here from the Greek is dealing with those who are put in authority, yes, but are also guardians, protectors, and caregivers. Here it's dealing those who carry the responsibilities that are given to them by God. The responsibilities God has for them, not necessarily what we expect of them or think they're doing. Again, we give honor to all, and we have honor that we give to different people, as we've seen several instructions here. But I think also we know the greatest value, the greatest weight, the greatest honor, as will one day be recognized by all, belongs to God. Revelation 19, verse 1. Revelation 19 and verse 1. Revelation 19, 1. Again, a prophetic passage. After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven, saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. This world, under the heavy weight of Satan the devil, under his influence, are separated from God. They don't recognize his plan. They don't recognize his purpose. They don't recognize his value. And I say we need to thank him that we do on a regular basis. All honor belongs to him, as we have been called to see. And we show him our honor by what we do or what we don't do. What we think or what we don't think. What we say and what we don't say. by how we live and also how we don't live. Malachi 1:6, I will read to you Malachi 1:6. God said to Israel, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? He said to Israel. And if I am master, where is my reverence? And we know that they had departed from having that honor toward God. That we, of course, know and don't want to ever depart from. But to keep in mind his incredible plan for every one of us and for all people, every person, including those that we need to value, but not let them have as much weight in our lives or impact. There was a televangelist in Cincinnati, Ohio, when we lived there, and he had a program I did not watch regularly. But he and his wife had a ranch, and they would begin and end the show riding their horses up to the television camera to begin the program and to end the program. And he would end with, remember, God loves you, and so do we. And with some, those aren't the exact thoughts that come to my mind, but I think, remember, God loves you, and I'm working on it. But the more we remember how God does value all and intends all to be a part of his family, the more we will have the honor that God wants us to have or strive to have throughout our lives. And we are to seek honor from him. We are to seek honor from him, not from man, and not from ourselves. Psalm 49:20, a man who is in honor or has honor, yet does not understand, in this verse speaking of God, is like beasts that perish. Whatever honor he may attain, whatever honor he may be given by men, is going to be meaningless eventually. The honor from God is that which counts. In John 5, verse 41, Jesus Christ was dealing with the Jews who sought honor from each other and were also turning away from him, did not give him the honor and could not at the time. But he told them that someday they would have the honor made plain to them and would have the opportunity to receive the honor that comes only from God. Honor from man, but that is not from God, is meaningless in the long run. We should be sure to seek honor from God separate from the honor that we can attain through our own lives apart from God or by other people. In John 12, verse 26, Jesus Christ said, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Again, following Jesus Christ, following his example, following the teachings brought to us in the Word of God is where true honor comes from and remains. Again, when we think of honor, let's remember value and wait. Let us honor God. All honor belongs to him, and true honor comes from him. And we show our honor to him by what we do and what we don't do, by how we think and how we don't think, by what we say and by what we don't say, by how we live and by how we don't live, according to his instructions, a number of which we've looked at today. An exercise I would like to pose to all of us for the upcoming week, perhaps begin the day with these questions. How will I honor God today? How will I honor God today? And how will I honor others as God intends me to do? How will I value them as God does. What impact will they have on me? According to God's word, according to what God intends. And how shall I act in an honorable way, a way that is pleasing to God the Father and Jesus Christ? And then perhaps end the day with the same questions, reverting to or slightly altering them, asking ourselves what we did or what we didn't do, so it's always in mind, and then going forward from there. It is an honor to be with all of you this day. And I hope we can all grow, and I hope we can all help each other to grow in doing the honorable things.